Bible verses everyone should know. Bible verses everyone needs to know. We're in the second week. We're going to go 8 weeks through this series, taking a verse each week. And really, a series like this could last 8 years rather than 8 weeks, because there are so many jewels in the Bible. And we talked about it. We need to know all of the verses. We need to be exposed to them all. But there are so many that are just so clear and so powerful. And if we were to do it this morning, if I were to ask anyone who wants to stand up and share a Bible verse that you think everyone needs to know, there are a lot of you that have life verses. There's verses, favorite verses you have that God has used in your life in a particular point. And you would stand up and say, everybody needs to know this verse because it has changed me. It has changed my life. This morning we're going to look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We're going to put it up on the wall here. I'm going to have you read it with me. One more click, Damien. We got the verse up there. There we go. Say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Have you heard it before? Yeah. If last week was the most famous verse in the Bible, possibly, this verse is maybe the most quoted on wall hangings and plaques. In my small circle, the life I live, I found a few of them. This is hanging up in our home. We got it a few years ago. And it has this verse, trust in the Lord. Hangs in our living room. I've got one in my office with the same verse on it. And you probably have some at home too. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's kind of a neat medieval kind of calligraphy thing, and found that, put it in a frame. That's in my office. I was walking through Pastor Sean's office over here the other day, and he has two wall hangings with verses on them. And one of them is this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You've probably seen it. You may have this in your home. You've probably seen it on a greeting card. Probably, if John 3:16 is the most famous, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is probably a close second. It's powerful. It's a powerful verse. Let's read it again together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Now, in this verse, and I've underlined the first few words and the last few words. Because in these, and I say verse, and there's really two verses. Okay, we're kind of cheating this morning, but they really go together. They're one sentence. This verse kind of has bookends, so to speak. There's this part at the beginning we've underlined, and there's this part at the end, and they serve as bookends to this verse. And the first bookend is a command. God says to us to trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord. Lean on the Lord. We're going to call this our part. All right? So our part, this verse says, is to trust in the Lord. To put our hope in Him. To be sure, not of ourselves. Don't be sure of yourself. Be sure of God. Put your confidence in Him. Lean on Him. Because, you know, we're all trusting in something. We are. Even if you say you're not, you're trusting at the very least in yourself. We all lean, trust, put our confidence in something or someone. It could be money, it could be things, it could be occupation, it could be vocation, it could be what other people think of you. We all put our trust and our security in something. And God says, and He tells us, your part is to put your trust and your confidence in Me. In God. At the end of this verse, the other bookend is a promise. So the first part is a command to us. The second part, the end, is a promise from God. And He says, and we're going to call this God's part. Okay, this is God's role. This is God's job. He says that His part is to make your paths straight. He promises. He promises, I will make your paths straight. You don't have to. I will, if you trust in Me. See, these two bookends are connected. If we will trust in Him, He will make our path straight. Now, the reason this is in here for us is because what we do is we flip this on its head. And we put our trust not in the Lord many times, but in ourselves or something else. And so we forsake our part, and then we turn to God's part, and we take over His part. And we try to make our own paths straight. We try to make a way for ourselves. We try to direct ourselves. And so we flip this on its head many times. And so God comes and He speaks to us and He says, wait, trust in me and I'll do that. Fulfill your part and trust me to fulfill my part, to make a way. What does it mean to make our paths straight? What does that mean? In other translations, it's phrased, He will direct your path. He will direct your steps. And there's the idea that, you know, we try to figure out which way to go in life. We try to figure out what to do. And God says, if you trust me, I will make that clear to you. I will direct your step. I will show you what to do, where to go. But it means more than that. He says He will make your paths straight. It's more than just directing us which way to go. It's God saying, I will smooth out your path. I will make it safe. I will make it clear. Last summer, we tore out a lot of the stuff that was in front of our house. We put up some landscaping walls, short ones, and some shrubs and stuff. It looks a little better. But part of what we had to do is we had to tear out our front walk that goes from our steps to our front door to our driveway, probably 16 feet. And we tore it out, and so there was, you know, dirt here and grass a little bit higher. And it was like that for a year. And every time my wife came home at night, or most times when my wife came home at night, when it was dark, or whenever we had guests over, I was always a little nervous. Because, A, it's not real clear that you're supposed to come to our front door because there's no walkway to it. And, B, it's not real safe. You know, it's dark, it's uneven, it's unsteady. And I was always a little nervous and ashamed. Where a couple weeks ago, we finally put in a new sidewalk. And now it's clear. And it's safe. It's smooth. The path is straight. And that's the idea. God says, I will make the way clear and safe and smooth. Where you try to make things come together, He says, trust me and I will help things to come together. And before we go too much farther in this, we have to be careful. Because this is not a promise that life will be without struggles. Okay? God in this verse is not, and in the Bible, is not promising us nothing but roses. Nothing but a smooth, uncomplicated way. There will be trials. There will be testing. Some of them God allows. Some of them we create ourselves. And some of them God even orchestrates to grow us. But God is saying, as a whole, I will make things clear to you. And the path that I set out for you will be far better than anything that you could lay out to follow me for your life. I will make your path straight. Now, one of the best examples in the Bible of both this verse working well and this verse being turned on its head is the first story in the Bible, Adam and Eve. God made a straight path for them. He spent 5.5 days making a perfect world. And He made them last, put them in their new home, the Garden of Eden. And He had created them, hardwired them to trust Him. That's how it was supposed to work. And that's the way it worked. No death. Talk about a smooth path. No death, no problems, no marital conflict. No. They had worked, but they didn't work by the sweat of their brow. Smooth. Perfect. A trust in Him. And we don't know if that lasted 2 days, 2 years, 20 years. We're really not told in the Bible how long that was. But at some point, Adam and Eve turned this verse on its head. And they received some new information that if they did what God told them not to do, life would be a lot better. And so they chose to reinvest their trust in themselves and in this new information they had, which was wrong. And they decided to make their own way. We're going to do our own thing. We're not going to keep our confidence in the Lord and what He said, but we're going to go our own way. And things fell apart. Instantly, they're guilty. Instantly, they're disconnected from God. They're hiding from God where before they weren't. They were kicked out of the garden, never to return. And you know what? In a lot of ways, we are still reaping the consequences of Adam and Eve's actions. That we have an inherited that propensity now, not to trust in the Lord, but to trust in ourselves. Trust in the Lord, he says, trust in the Lord. In a lot of ways, the mandate here is to go back to the Garden of Eden, not physically, but in our relationship with God, to trust him, to just trust him and put our confidence in him and follow him. So how do we do that? How do we do that? And between these two bookends, there's a few specific ways that God says, this is how you're to trust me. This is how you're to trust me. So our part is to trust in the Lord. How do we do that? And the first thing we see in this verse is that we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, what does that mean, to trust in the Lord with our heart? What is the heart? See, in our culture, we think of the heart as being feelings or emotions. And it is that. But when the Bible uses the word heart, it's more than that. It's feelings, but also it's our mind and our thoughts. It's our will and the place we make decisions. It's everything that goes on inside of us. Everything that goes on inside of us, the people don't see, but God sees. That's our heart. And God says, I don't want this external kind of appearance of trust, just looking like you're doing the things you should. I don't want just to hear words that you trust. I want the trust to come from your heart, for you to trust me in the deep recesses of what goes on in your heart, to trust me authentically, sincerely, from the heart. See, the Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And he wants us to trust him with our heart, not with an outward religious or moral action, but for that to come from a deep trust that comes from our heart. And he says that he wants us to trust him with all of our heart, not some of our heart, not even a majority of our heart. God says to trust him with all of your heart. Everything that you are, everything that you have, to trust him. We live in, you know, tough economic times. And probably for most of us, the last thing on our mind is how to invest extra money, right? How to invest extra money. But there is a principle of investing, and you probably know it. There is this principle of investing that if we have $500 to invest, that we shouldn't invest it all in one place, right? We should diversify our investment. Maybe we put 100 of those dollars over in this mutual fund, and we put 150 over in this CD, and we maybe invest $100 in a potentially profitable stock, but it's a little risky. And the idea is that if one of those things we invest in, that we put confidence in and hope for a return, if one of those things fails, we haven't lost everything, right? We've got some other things. And that principle is even actually a biblical principle for finances. But God says, don't do that with the investment of your trust. He doesn't want us to diversify our confidence, to put some a little over here in this person or this thing or in ourselves, just in case God, this God, doesn't come through. Then at least I won't have lost everything, because I've diversified where my heart is and my trust. God says, put all of your eggs in one basket. Trust me with all of your heart. And you know what the Bible says about that? God says that no one who takes refuge in him will ever be put to shame. You will never invest your heart and your confidence in the Lord and find that you're ashamed and that has fallen through and God has not been faithful. Great is his faithfulness. And you can trust him with all of your heart because of that. Because he is a powerful, great God who cares for you. Now, if you come to God with expectations, if you come to God thinking, well, he's going to do this and I'm kind of drawing up the terms of the contract and God, I'll trust you with this as long as you do this, you may be disappointed. Because this trust in him is a blank contract. It's saying, God, I am trusting you. You are filling in the terms. And I'm going to trust in you. That kind of trust, the Bible says, we will never be ashamed of. We will never lose our investment of trust. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And he promises to make your path straight. He will. He promises. The second thing, though, is to trust in the Lord, not your own understanding. To trust in the Lord, not your own understanding. God says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The idea is don't lean on your own discernment. You know, don't go with what you think things should be. Don't operate thinking, well, my paradigm is right. My concept of reality is reality. Don't lean on the way you think about things. But he says, put your confidence in me. Because see, God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The default thoughts that you have will most of the time, if not all the time, lead you to a different place than what God's thoughts are. And God says, be very, very careful about leaning on your own understanding. Now, this can look like us totally just saying, God, I've heard what you said, but I don't want to do that. I'm going to do my own thing. It can be that blatant. But it can also be, and this is where we have to be cautious, it can also be us taking a verse from here or a verse from there, and maybe something that a Christian person has said to us or a pastor has taught, and kind of packaging that up and coming up with a presentation for our own heart and convincing ourselves that this is what I should do or this is what God wants. When if we will look under the hood, it's really what we want. We've just packaged it. And sometimes it's hard to see that. And sometimes, you know, we kind of know what's going on, but we're justifying our position with some evidence of maybe some things that makes it sound spiritual. God says, be very careful. Don't trust your heart. Don't trust it. We have to go back to what God says clearly and not lean on our own understanding. When I was in high school, one of the teachers that we had maintained one of those weather stations. It was a big white box, and it was up off the ground. And as students, we would take turns, and we'd go open the door, and we would write down what the temperature was that day, write down if there was, you know, how much rain had fallen. We had some gadgets in there that would measure that, and we would call it into the National Weather Service. Now, not many people cared what the temperature was where I lived, because there wasn't a lot of people where I lived. But a lot of people care what the temperature is in other places. And the National Weather Service has some pretty strict guidelines on how and where to put that thermometer. Because see, what happens is that thermometer can be skewed by radiant heat off streets, blacktop, sidewalks, buildings, and it can catch heat from that, and the thermometer can go up 5 to 10 degrees, and you don't get an accurate reading. Easy in rural places in the woods to find that, a good place, but in the city, it's difficult. In fact, the National Weather Service, their guidelines are that thermometer has to be 4 to 6 feet off the ground in a white housing, and it has to be over grass. Can't be over gravel, can't be over dirt, can't be over concrete. It has to be over grass. This is in the city. And it has to be 50 feet away from any sidewalk or street. And it has to be 500 feet away from any building. Now, that can be tough in the city to find a place like that. But the whole reason for that is so that it doesn't catch, it's not skewed, it's not influenced. The temperature isn't changed or influenced by the environment, by the things around it. It can be very hard for us to not be influenced and for our hearts not to be skewed and influenced by the messages around us, the people and the ways they see things around us, by our own sinful natures. It can be very hard for us to isolate our hearts so we're not influenced by things we shouldn't be. And that's why God says, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't. Because if you do, you're shifting your confidence and putting it really in yourself and your own best thoughts rather than the Lord. And what he says is, turn to me. Turn to my thoughts. Look at my thoughts. What are my ways? Put your trust in those. Act on those. Trust in the Lord, not your own understanding. And he says, I will make your path straight. I will work things out. I will help you and direct you. Even maybe sometimes when you're unaware of what direction you should go, you'll just end up there if you trust me. But the third thing is here, trust in the Lord. How? Defer to God in everything. Defer to God in everything. He says in this verse, and if you look at it in your program, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, some of us, many of us, acknowledge Him in some ways. There are some ways that are very easy for me to go to Him and say, God, please help. God, give me direction. But then there's a lot of things that you and I kind of do routinely. And we've done them maybe for 20, 30 years, maybe in our relationships, maybe in our job. And they're just routine. We know how to handle this. We got this. And it's not that we're saying, God, you know, I don't need you. It's just that we don't think about it because we're kind of on autopilot. And we don't acknowledge Him. And we don't defer to Him. And we don't look to Him in those situations because, really, we operate as if we've got that area. But God says, in all, every single area of your life, acknowledge me. What does acknowledge mean? What does He mean by that? Acknowledge Him. The idea is of a child always looking to his father, or the child always looking to her mother when they do something, just making sure. If you have children or had children, do you ever notice them kind of looking just to make sure you're there? You know, maybe they're busy doing something and all of a sudden it occurs to them, where's my parent? And they'll look to make sure you're there, to look to him, to look to them for security. The idea is of a child looking to the eyes of their parent to see if what they're doing is all right, to see if what they're doing is what they should be doing, to look to their parents for instruction. That's the idea here, that with a childlike faith, and Jesus says to come to him with a childlike faith, to constantly be looking to the Father and saying, Lord, I need your help, or, you know, and to look and to remind ourselves that he's there, to look for his direction, to constantly acknowledge him in everything. Now, let me give you, you say, well, how do I do that? You know, how do I develop that? It just seems like, do I have to be on my knees and pray all the time, all day? I mean, it just doesn't seem like I'd get a lot done if I had to pause and pray for everything. Let me give you four just practical, they're not in your outline, but just four practical things, some thoughts of how to do this, how to acknowledge him. And the first is to think to yourself, to stop and think to yourself as you're walking through your day or you're facing a decision or a challenge, to think to yourself, what does God think about this? Does God have anything to say about this? You know, it's just a simple pause. Maybe it takes a second. Maybe you don't even have to think that because you just know. You know what he thinks. You think of a verse. You know what his word says about this particular thing. Sometimes you might not. But to pause and think, not just to walk into it, but to say, what does the Lord think about this? Is there something I know that he says about this that'll help me? You know, as I deal with this conflict with this person, how does he want me to react? How can he help me navigate through this? What does he have to say about that? Now, the second thing is, the second thing is to read consistently. Read the Bible consistently. And we've all crammed for tests when you were a student. I know we all did. You know, you didn't study, you didn't study, you didn't study. And then the night before, you're like, and you studied really hard so that you'd hopefully pass that test. Well, the idea here, you know, we all knew and we were all told that it's much better to, you know, study consistently a little bit each day, and then when the test comes, you'll be ready. Well, the idea here is that many times we stop and we think, what does God have to say about this? What does God think about this? But then we're not quite sure. And it's tough in those times to kind of find it, right? So if we will consistently expose our heart to what God says, I'm putting things in that I can draw from in those moments. It's kind of like when I'm reading consistently, I'm kind of filling up my backpack. I'm kind of filling up my water bottle so that when I walk through life, when I go on that hike, when I need it, it's there. And the part of the Spirit's job in our life, the Holy Spirit, is to remind us of things that God has said. But sometimes, myself, I face a situation and the Spirit doesn't maybe have anything to pull from because I haven't been putting anything in the holster. I haven't been putting anything in the backpack. So reading consistently will help you to absorb yourself in the thoughts of God, the thoughts of God, to renew your mind. But when you're in those situations and you stop to think, God can remind you of things that you have read. So read consistently. That can really help. And the third thing, the third way we can acknowledge God is simply to pray. Simply to pray. And yes, do get on your knees. Cry out to the Lord for help. But you know what? You don't have to get on your knees and cry out for help. Don't think in a situation, wow, I really wish I could pray right now, but I'll have to do that later. But wow, I don't have time. I wish I could do it right now. You can. The idea is to develop this habit of just saying, Lord, please help. Just a simple prayer. Lord, please help in this situation. The Bible says to pray without ceasing, to pray continuously. I was working on my back brakes in my car, had some problems with them. I was working on them with a friend last Sunday, and 4.5 hours. We worked on them for 4.5 hours. That was after the first time of working on it for 4.5 hours. So if you need any help with your car, don't call me because it would take a while. But a friend was helping me. It would have taken 9 if he hadn't helped. But as we were working on the brakes, you know, we weren't getting it to work. It wasn't working. And, you know, a few times we just found ourselves saying, Lord, you know, just would you please help this to work? Would you help us to figure this out? You know, we were just working, but you can just say, Lord, help me. You know, give me wisdom. And you know what? So many times he makes our path straight as we kind of whisper those prayers as we're walking through our day. And that's part of constantly acknowledging him, constantly looking to him. But the fourth way of the fourth kind of practical way we can defer to him and everything is to ask advice from other people. All right. To ask for counsel. And we have to be careful who we ask, because if my thoughts aren't God's thoughts, then nobody else's thoughts are God's thoughts. And so I need to pick somebody that has God's thoughts, right? That is exposing themselves to God's thoughts, that is walking with the Lord. And they may not know everything, but they can maybe point to some God thoughts that I hadn't thought about before. And so it's not just about us praying. It's not just about us reading, but it's us also walking with others. There is safety in a multitude of counselors, the Bible says. And sometimes part of us deferring to God is asking for help and asking for counsel. And, you know, we've focused on, in these examples, information. You know, God, tell me what to do. But there's also this aspect of God, we need God's help. So it's not just, what do I do? I may know what to do, but I need to lean on his strength and I need his help. And so I walk into a meeting that I've walked into for 20 years, and I know how to maneuver in this meeting, but it's me walking in and saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. I don't want to walk in here just doing it in my own strength. I'm acknowledging that I need your help. So please help me as I walk in. And then us walking through that meeting. Trust in the Lord. Defer to God in everything. Everything. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too small. Defer to him in everything. And he will make your path straight. There is no greater example of this verse operating as it should. There's no greater example than the good news of Jesus. The good news that Jesus came and he died for our sin. That Jesus came to take care of the bad news. And the bad news is that each one of us have committed treason against our King, against our Creator. And because of that, we deserve to be separated from him, deserve to be punished. But the King sent his Son, who paid the punishment for our treason. And he was executed for us so that we could be brought into a good relationship with the King and in right standing in his kingdom. And the good news that one day I'll be able to sit at the table face to face with the King. Sit at the table and we'll have a banquet with the King. And I can walk each day now because of Jesus, not looking behind me at whether and not worried that payday is today, that the king, knowing that I have committed treason against him, that I can live free today, even before I see him face to face. But the only way for that to happen is for us to trust in the Lord. See, God has made the way, and he has sent Jesus. Jesus is the way, the straight path. Our part is to trust in the Lord. It's not to do good. It's not even to be good. It's to trust in the Lord with all your heart. This morning, maybe that's the first time for you. Maybe that's what needs to happen for the first time, and for you to withdraw your trust from other things and deposit your confidence, put your security in Jesus, the Son of the King. Because there's really only two ways to go. To make something else or someone else your king, including yourself, or to make the rightful king, king, and to yield to him. There's only two ways. So maybe this morning you need to withdraw and deposit your trust in Jesus for the first time. But for all of us, the call is to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And maybe as we walked through this, there were some specific situations that went through your mind thinking, wow, I need to trust the Lord in that. Or you saying, yes, I've seen this happen because God has made my path straight and he has worked things out as I've trusted in him. This verse, as you see it on walls and in greeting cards, and as you think about this verse, this is the way that we are to live every day of our Christian life, to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, put our confidence in him, and trust him to do his part to make our path straight, and he will. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your help. Lord, you are good. You are strong. Lord, you keep your promises. Lord, help us to trust in your promise. There are so many reasons to trust you, because you are there, you are with us, you are strong. Lord, in this verse, the reason you give for us to trust you is that you will take care of the future. You will direct us. You will guide us, that we don't have to strive and sweat to try to make life work. But Lord, you will do that. And if we've been trying to do your job, Lord, in an area of our life, or maybe all of our life, Lord, help us this morning to realize that and to turn from that, to forsake that and say, that is not right and it's not working. Lord, help us to put our trust in you. We pray this in your name. Amen.